Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's on. Look, it's on.
Oh, it's on.
It is so on.
Pull up a chair, grab a cold one, smoke them if you got them. It's time for the Fan Happy Hour.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
What is up, sports fans? A Luke Anderson-less edition of Happy Hour here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. You got Schultzy in, and let me say, there is probably no more perfect day than today or tomorrow that you could have me in here on Happy Hour, which I will be in for Luke tomorrow as well, because the Seattle Mariners are in the middle of the ALDS. And oh my God, I just never thought I'd actually get the opportunity to be reacting to stuff live on the air. Some of the most important at-bats in my life, at least that I've watched as a Mariners fan, coming up today during the show, but a lot to get to other than that. But first, it is very important that we check on the most important person on the program. That would be one, Jeff Rust. Jeff, happy Tuesday. Rusty, appreciate you having me, making me sound good. How you doing, my friend? What is going on?
Hell yeah, brother. Excited for some Mariners baseball, but we'll see if the rain will stop and let us get some in during the show.
Yeah, that's actually where we want to start. And so I'll set this up today. Usually, of course, Luke, he is a stand-up comedian, so I love how he does the jokes, and in case you missed it. But today we're going to do more of a Seattle Mariners version of In Case You Missed It here in a couple of minutes, so we'll get into that. And of course, we will get into the crazy finish on Monday Night Football last night, the Jaguars getting the win. Actually, speaking of which, Rusty, some business to take care of on the show. Mm-hmm. Luke did not give me the winner of the pick'em, so that is usually announced on Tuesdays here. Yes. On Happy Hour, I will, as soon as I get that information from one Luke Anderson, I will announce who won the pick'em. He told me there were like two or three people going for the win last night because of the Monday Night Football contest to be decided.
Yes, so. And somebody had the Jaguars to win. I forgot who he said it was, but so we'll...
I'm assuming that person won then.
I'm even the resident Jaguars fan here, and I didn't pick the Jaguars to win last night, but so it was a hell of a result there.
Huh. Yeah, my stepmom's a Jaguars fan too, so yeah, shout out Julie. Yeah, Duval. Hey, everybody's shouting Duval. I don't think anybody's making fun of Leon Coam right now. But of course, on top of Monday Night Football, we'll get into some Blazers talk and some Seahawks news in the Daily Buzz. A bit of weird news actually coming out of the Seahawks building today. It's just like, what are you doing? I don't know if they're like nervous because they're 3-2, but they're kind of starting to come up with some weird ideas. So we'll get into that as well. And a lot of different news to get to today from around the NFL and around the NBA too. And speaking of the NBA, Rusty, preseason basketball, I mean, it's already going, but
yes,
gets going officially for your Portland Trailblazers.
Yes, my
tomorrow.
Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, that's right.
Your Portland Trailblazers.
I'm a diehard. I would say I'm a bigger Blazers fan than you, Rusty. Is that correct? Or are we on the level?
No. I'm born and raised here as well. I remember in my youth, anytime we had a family get together at my grandparents' house, if it was a game night, my grandfather would be over in his chair with his little transistor radio held up to his ear, listening to the game. Whatever the hell else was going on in the house, he was listening.
See, that seems like a lot of people just... passing that story along from, it's like, you know, we've had this really great announcer, Bill Shonley, for that generation, and now passing along stories from our generation of listening to Brian Wheeler. Now, of course, Travis DeMersa on the radio, but just the old transistor radio stories. Yeah, we're definitely
goes back, like, you know, early 80s, like the you know, the Paxton days and Drexler and, of course, Porter and stuff. But yeah, we're talking, early 80s.
You mean when half the guys that they have, like, retired numbers up in the banners are playing from? Yeah.
We don't need to get into that.
No, that's we don't have time. That's the thing about Happy Hour. It's fast-paced. It's a lot of info, and that's already been decided. The Blazers retired numbers too much. So, but we've got a lot to get to as far as preseason goes and some interesting Blazers news. So much fun coming off of this crazy sports weekend. I cannot believe, I mean, I'm still kind of reacting to the crazy losses that UCLA handed Penn State and that Miami handed Texas. I knew Luke Anderson hit on that a lot. And then, of course, the Seahawks' shocking loss on Sunday amidst the craziness down in the Soto District in Seattle, man. I was there Saturday, and I think they predicted with the Sounders game going on at the same time as the Mariners game, it was 130,000 people there on Saturday. And then with the Seahawks game, which was like a 1 p.m. or 1:10 first kickoff, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And then Mariners' first pitch was like at 5:08 that night. So 150,000 people in a span of about 4 to 6 hours trying to egress and ingress out of there.
But so for that Saturday, I wonder how many of those, because what, the Timber Sounders probably had what, 14, 15 people there?
That actually is a funny joke. I
don't care.
No, I don't. I will say I was maybe three blocks away.
Pissed off a lot of soccer fans.
Do they listen to the radio? I thought Timbers fans didn't even listen to sports radio, so I don't think you're...
Probably not. They're over on like on KBOO or something.
Exactly.
Does that still exist?
I don't know. Classical music? Whatever wacky things they listen to, it's definitely not sports radio. But it made me laugh a little bit. Three blocks outside of the stadium or T-Mobile Park trying to get an Uber after the game, and everybody was kind of downtrodden, and then I hear like, oh, the Sounders beat the Timbers, and I'm just like, damn it. Like, I don't really care, but like, God, as if my night couldn't get any worse. Even the damn soccer team from Portland couldn't get a win either. So, very busy weekend, Rusty. And honestly, it spilled into Monday with that Monday Night Football action. Crazy finish once again. Is Pat Mahomes cooked? We'll get into that here coming up after the Daily Buzz. But first, let's get to a special Mariners edition of In Case You Missed It. Ah, yes. Thank you so much, Rusty, for getting that Mariners theme going. Oh, my gosh. Like, this is the only opportunity I'm going to have to lead off a show with Seattle Mariners talk because...
Right. Well, today and tomorrow.
Well, yeah. It's just, it's the biggest happenings in the world of sports right now. And by the way, really quickly before we dive into this, are you pro or anti games starting for the playoffs in MLB in the afternoon like they are today?
Well, selfishly, as a sports talk radio man, I'm pro it, because look, then we've got live baseball to talk about during the shows. I've got live scores to report on during the shows. Again, selfishly, I dig it. But as a, you know, if you're a Monday through Friday 9-to-5er out there, I get how you'd be like, really? Come on.
No, I do feel bad. Check in on the text line if you are lamenting about that. 503-864-6FAN or on the YouTube chat. We can get to those throughout the show or at the end. A lot of people stuck at work, unfortunately. And I know that there are a lot of Mariners fans. I've actually gotten a couple of texts today. It's like, damn, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to watch the whole game. I know I can watch half of it, but like, I've got a meeting. And now with this rain delay that we're going to get into here, Rusty. Okay, so Mariners, Tigers, first pitch
today. That will
today.
Relieve some of that pressure.
Yes, it will, because that was scheduled to start at 1:08 today. Yes. We are in a weather delay. The main reason I am not talking about any at-bats or Jack Flaherty hopefully giving up a home run to Cal Raleigh or Julio Rodriguez is because it's raining in Detroit. It looks
thunderstorms
bad right now, Rusty. Yeah. Like, I'm talking cats and dogs. Humidity level is going to be crazy after. And actually, you read a tweet to me off the air.
Yeah, Bizball Maury, good old Maury Brown, saying, even after all this, he's like, expect with all this weather and the thunderstorms, it's going to be some dense, heavy air, which could pose some problems with the Mariners, who have kind of relied on the long ball.
Yes, they have. Well, that's kind of what you got to do in the playoffs, right? It's not easy for teams, however good your lineup is, to string 4 to 5 hits together, you know, against elite pitchers. Like, I know you're not facing Tarik Skubal every single day.
Right.
But look at what they had to do on Sunday against him. Two solo home runs by Polanco. Obviously able to set them up for that Julio Rodriguez go-ahead RBI double. But
which, by the way, we all would have been, coming out of the weekend, we all would have been great with a 1-1 result, a split. It just went completely opposite of how we thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed on Saturday.
Because like Saturday there for the evening, loss. I was like, oh, no. No, this is not good.
It was not a good feeling. I was in my feelings as a Mariners fan, very scared that this opportunity here in the ALDS was going to be wasted. Actually, I was just telling Patrick before we got on the air today that, you know, in 2022, I wasn't living and dying on every single pitch during these Mariners playoffs games. You know, when they beat the Toronto Blue Jays in the wild card, I was like, okay, like this is feeling good. I could just watch the game, but not these playoffs, man. Every single game, 1 and 2 pitch, I was on the edge of my seat. I was screaming. I was crying. Like, there were literally tears shed on Saturday at the game and then Sunday while I was watching it in my living room. I hope that you're not judging me too much.
Well, no, you and that one other guy, right?
I think there's a lot of other Mariners fans. By the way, boo to anybody that's complaining about Mariners fans crying. This team has not sniffed success in ever, right?
No, in ever.
Like,
sixth playoff appearance in 49 seasons.
Yeah, 1995 started off that appearance period in 30 years of six playoff appearances.
I was in college that year, by the way, too, with a bunch of my buddies at school and a bunch from Seattle, and I'll tell you what, they were jacked.
Saved baseball, baby.
Watching that game against the Yankees, and and Griffey coming around, and it was that was a time in Salem.
But since 2001, man, just haven't had anything to hang our hat on. So you know what? When your team is inserted into a sitcom as a joke, as the Mariners were in How I Met Your Mother, saying it's like if they were at the World Series, it'd be weird for everybody. Then you can maybe understand why Mariners fans are crying. So, of course, today to get into a little bit of a preview, once they do get going, we are in a rain delay right now. Seattle Mariners in Detroit, supposed to face off against the Tigers. When they do, Rusty, Jack Flaherty will be taking the mound for the Tigers. Logan Gilbert taking the mound for the Mariners. And this is a very specific setup by Dan Wilson. He went with George Kirby in game one to start this series because Kirby has had an amazing run at, I was about to say Safeco. We're talking a lot of memories. T-Mobile Park in the last month of September had about a 2.3 to 2.5 ERA, just been on it. Luis Castillo also been on a recent run of success as well. So very, very important for Dan to try to maybe ride the hot hand in that sense. So you saw those guys getting the start in game two for those reasons. Now, Logan Gilbert, who has, other than Brian Wu, been overall your best pitcher this season in the majors, is getting the start for game three. I am so excited behind him today. The movement on his slider, and I mean, he has an alter ego named Walter. That's who pitches, not Logan Gilbert when he's up on the mound. And I think Walter's fastball is going to be snappy today, Rusty. I know that the pitching performances were very gritty, especially by Luis Castillo. Not perfect, but hard fought. I just have a feeling that with that day off and seeing what these pitchers suffered through over the weekend, it kind of gave Logan Gilbert maybe a little bit of an opportunity to prepare for what he's going to face today.
Yeah. Well, and it looks like also, too, perhaps hopefully in the next hour or so, it says light rain right now in Detroit, but then showers. But yeah, hopefully in the next hour or so, that should clear up and we can get going with game three.
Yeah, I was looking at the Doppler radar. I saw a break in the rain like 220, 230 our time. So like, what, 10 minutes away from now? Mm-hmm. Man, I hope they get going. And I know a lot of people, at least that were in a meeting, now getting out and realizing, oh, the Mariners game hasn't started yet? No, you haven't missed anything. You will still be able to watch it. But, of course, we are waiting with bated breath to see when that will get going. A couple of other storylines going into today, actually related to the Logan Gilbert storyline. Impressive decision, I think, by manager A.J. Hinch for the Tigers to move Kerry Carpenter up into the lineup. He hit one of the home runs on Saturday, actually the game-tying home run for the Detroit Tigers that was the shot in the heart for the Mariners during that game. Man, we were feeling it at T-Mobile, and then all of a sudden just, what? Like, that happened. So Kerry Carpenter now moving up as the left-handed hitter at the top of the lineup that will get that extra at-bat against Logan Gilbert. A.J. Hinch said, when that 19th turn comes, we're hopefully going to have some runners on base, and we're going to make it tough for him.
Yeah, no, exactly. And yeah, like you said, the point being is that that third time seeing a pitcher, Kerry Carpenter has been very good at that. And also on the opposite end, when it comes to Gilbert, not so great when it comes around to seeing a batter for the third time.
No, you were...
So even if you just move that guy up a spot or two, yeah, that's a couple outs that you're saving yourselves to get some more, you know, runs on the board.
I think if you're watching game one or game two, they showed a stat. I think it was for Luis Castillo for the Mariners, and they were talking about his. You just brought it up, Rusty, first, second, and third time through the lineup. And I think by the third time Luis Castillo got two hitters, it was like a 7 or 8 ERA. And especially in the playoffs, you just... don't leave guys in much longer unless they're having a night like Scooble is, and he's just one of the best pitchers in the bigs.
Right.
Unfortunately, Gilbert maybe in 2024 was one of the best pitchers in the bigs.
Yeah.
25, he's been a little more oft injured. He's still got the talent, but just not as hot of a hand, and somebody that I think you're not expecting to give you 7 today.
Well, and the other night, Saturday night before it got forced into extras with, is it Munoz, their closer?
Yes, sir, Andres Munoz.
6 outs. He went 6 outs.
Yep.
And they kept saying how poorly he does when he's asked to record that many outs. But the thing is, sometimes it's not just about the outs. It's about the amount of pitches that you throw. And for those 6 outs, he only threw 25 pitches.
Yeah, that's very efficient. And that was actually a reason that Gabe Spire, also from Saturday to Sunday, was able to go again.
Mm-hmm.
He only, in 4 outs, I think, threw 13 or 14 pitches. And like 2 of them were one out to come in and get that final one in the bottom of this, or the top of the 7th, excuse me, I believe, before he came back out for the 8th. So it's just the usage. And this is kind of what I'm saying, Rusty. Living from pitch to pitch, from at bat to at bat, it really comes down to very specific matchups, usages. I mean, everything you heard about in the regular season goes out the window now. 4 days for a starting pitcher to rest is more than enough. Usually you go down to 3-guy rotations for starting pitching in the postseason. And we're just seeing all this kind of coming to a head. And gosh, man, as a Mariners fan, It's shocking that, like, we're here, but, like, with the feeling as compared to 2022 that, like, no, I really do think this team can go somewhere. I have confidence in them.
It feels like a special season, and Cal Raleigh and the Big Dumper and breaking records for pinch hitters and catchers with home runs, and then with the way they came back and actually came back and took the division, it just feels special.
Absolutely. One quick final storyline here before we move on to the Daily Buzz. Josh Naylor is in the lineup for the Seattle Mariners. First baseman had left the team for personal reasons, it was stated for on social media, and those personal reasons actually are the impending birth of his baby. The wife is waiting in Arizona. He traveled from Seattle after Sunday's game to Arizona to be with her in case she went into labor. As far as I know, I don't think the baby's born yet. Manager Dan Wilson was kind of coy on that, but right. Naylor, regardless, back in the lineup today.
At first base, he'll be batting 5th.
Thank you. He'll be batting 5th and playing 1st. Thank goodness. I know he hasn't been very very hot through the series, but man, you need him there. The protection that Gino and Naylor offer are just so big for Cal and Julio, but I wonder if he's going to leave like in the 4th inning if something happens.
Right, like what you mentioned before the show, it's like when Scottie Scheffler and his wife were expecting their child and during the Masters,
yeah.
And he said, hey, I don't care if I'm walking up the fairway on 7. He's like, I'm out. I'm getting out.
And I get it. Anybody,
well, yeah, of course.
Anybody, like, I think I've even kind of given people crap before, but like, really, in the situation, if you're in it, you understand, oh my God, this is the birth of my child. This is the reason why I'm on this earth.
Yep.
To reproduce. Okay, that takes precedence over anything. And thankfully, the Mariners are just like so cool about it. Like, whatever,
and,
go.
Well, and the thing is that most time when you get fan reactions to something like this, the reason why there is a chasm between the people that are like, you have a job, you go show up and play, or, yeah, it's your kid, you take the time off. That Venn diagram in terms of like the guys that don't have kids versus the ones that do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like those circles basically don't touch.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, cads and dads right there, Rusty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is all of the top storylines here for the Mariners Game 3 matchup with the Detroit Tigers. Still waiting in a rain delay. Hopefully we're going to see the rain clearing up and those thunderstorms getting out of the way. But yeah, like Rusty said, it's going to be a pretty thick bout of air. I think I saw a 90% humidity report. Homers have been the story for the Mariners.
That is sticky.
And I'm not sure we're going to see any today. But I hope y'all are watching. I'm so excited to get going with this game. These Mariners ALDS games have been monumental. And it's just the most playoff moment, important playoff moment, excuse me, in Mariners history.
Well, yeah, you as fans, you don't have many of these moments, so, you know, embrace it.
Yeah, I hope Oregon fans, like baseball fans in Oregon, can get behind the Mariners as well. We'll let you know when they get started. Let's switch gears, though, and move on to the Daily Buzz. It's Happy Hour on 105 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on the Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz.
The Buzz.
The Buzz.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, let's start here in Portland and then make our way outward. The Blazers preseason opener is tomorrow night. You know, I actually care a bit now that Damian Lillard is back. The Blazers have, at least in my mind, they have gotten right with me, with the fans. I appreciate them admitting that wrong and turning around and bringing Dame back, whatever the cost, whatever the embarrassment for their franchise. I just want to throw that out there now. That makes me happy. I really don't expect them to be that good, though, Rusty. Not really high expectations. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And I've seen, you know, some of the usual Blazer banter on social media about, like, oh, hey, guys, Yong Hansong could, you know, take off early, which he could, but, like, there's still four other starters that need to do well also. And if Drew Holiday is out there but nobody else can hit shots,
yeah, the thing is, well, if we're putting all of our eggs already in the Yong Hansen basket, we're in for trouble, because I feel like he is more raw than my dad likes his steaks.
Yeah, he just put him in the microwave, essentially.
Right, exactly.
Hey, that's blue, that's perfect.
Exactly. Look, the next step for them is clearly to, the end of the last season, they went all in and tried to make the play-in. Didn't work out. Yeah. They fell short. I feel like to make that logical next step, it needs to be something like the play-in, but what are we supposed to point at to be like, this is the difference from last year and this is what will make it different than last year? And so just because maybe Anfernee Simons is gone now and maybe Shaedon Sharpe gets more minutes and starts more, but we still have Drew Holiday and, you know, another year under the belt of Shaedon Sharpe and Donovan Klingon and whatnot. But they had a good little spurt last year at the end of the season.
Yep.
But that was basically it. And so what we need is, I need something more than small sample size theater.
Yeah, and to the point about Yong Hansen, I am excited to see him on the court. And
yes, absolutely.
And that's what this little Daily Buzz update was about, Rusty. Because of him, this is from multiple sources. Merch sales are up over 800% because of the fans from China buying into Hansen being here in the NBA. Blazers games are going to be aired on a specific channel in China. We're talking a possible growth from like around a million people watching Blazers games each night, like just in a random November evening, to now possibly 8 to 10 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a huge change, and I don't know how good the Blazers are going to get because of Yong Hansen, but there's certainly going to be more eyes on them this year, and that's frankly really cool.
Just to play devil's advocate here a bit.
Okay.
How much do we think, like what you just said there, with in terms of like the added international exposure,
yeah,
and a Chinese broadcast partner, you know, or playing all the, maybe not partner, but you know what I mean?
Not yet.
Playing all the games and the exposure and merch sales, and with the team having then been on the market up for sale before there was any announcement or thing, how much do we think them trading up and going to get an international Chinese star like Yong Hansen, that sounds to me, that feels to me like that was a deliberate attempt to help lure a buyer and be like, look at how much more this organization could be worth now that we have this international star and we're going to have so many more eyes and T-shirt dollars in our wallets.
I like your tinfoil hat, Rusty. I'm not sure I can give the Blazers front office and brass that much credit, but maybe they were five steps ahead of us on that one. I like that thought. I never really came up with that angle, but it's entirely possible. I just don't know how
likely.
Popped in my
head like right meow, actually. Yeah. But yeah. And the other thing was, too, is that, you know, the days after the draft, it came out the Nets were very interested in Hansen. And so they wanted to go up and they were the only other team that really showed first round interest. And so they went up to get it in front of them to get him. But I feel like that seems like a rational question.
Yeah, that is a rational question, but it is definitely still another question for me revolving around how many teams were in on Young Hansen in the draft. And hey, we'll see how good he is. But hey, as far as we know, going into tomorrow's first preseason game against the Golden State Warriors for the Blazers, he will be drawing a lot more eyes.
The Buzz.
All right, let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks. Injury updates, of course, just keep on coming for the defense. Of course, going into the loss against the Buccaneers and DeMarcus Lawrence, safety Julian Love, all-pro cornerback Devin Witherspoon inactive. Then they lost 35 to the Bucs. And during that loss, linebacker Derek Hill injured his oblique. And cornerback Reek Woolen suffering a concussion while they got torched for 426 yards, Rusty. I mean, the Seahawks coming in had allowed the third fewest points in the NFL. Their run defense actually continued to impress on the other end, turned in arguably its finest performance of the season. I think Tampa Bay finished with 56 yards on, 24 attempts. That's over 2.2 yards per carry. The Seahawks have allowed the fourth fewest rushing yards in the league this season. Just swallow that. But they're still licking their wounds on the defensive end. I just am not sure what this team is yet, Rusty. Like, I want to buy in. I like Sam Darnold. I like what they got going with their wide receivers. Darnold's connection with Smith and Jigba is probably one of the top in the NFL. But there's just a lot of questions about their health and defending the pass.
Well, and so that's the thing is with old Michael McDonald coming in there now, he keeps you running.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who would have thought that the offense would be the star thus far with Sam Darnold and the way that he's leading the league and not leading the league. He's near the top of the league in several offensive categories.
Yeah.
And so nobody was seeing this because Michael McDonald, he keeps you running. He's a defensive guy.
Speaking of defensive guys, Reek Woolen saw a random report today that they're considering using him at wide receiver if they maybe get a little low, like hands-wise. Like I know they still got Horton, they still got Kupp, they still got Smith and Jigba. They've got like four or five other guys that have caught balls pretty much every game this season. So I don't know, like, if Seattle's just trying to get cute or creative or that. Doesn't sound like a good idea to me, though.
It's either cute or creative, or it feels like something where you don't have answers and you're kind of grasping at straws for something, which at this point, we don't know why they would be grasping at those straws.
Hey, who knows? The Seahawks may put a linebacker in at wide receiver when they face off against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday.
Duval!
Oh, the Buzz!
Yeah, Duval indeed. We'll actually get to them in just a couple of seconds, but really quickly before we get to our news desk with Jeff Rust, got to update you on, of course, the crazy NLDS results yesterday as well. The Brewers getting over on the Cubs to take a 2-0 series lead, 7-3. That one started out locked up. Seiya Suzuki opened the game in the top of the first with a three-run bomb. Andrew Vaughn responded in the bottom of the half of the inning with another three-run bomb. And then,
that was it for the Cubbies.
Jackson Churio added one later on, and that was it for the Cubbies. I will quote Patrick Harris after the show today, or after the firm when he was out in the hall, said, "I did not expect the Cubbies to look this bad." And frankly, Patrick, I did not either. Yeah. It was bad. Dodgers also getting the win, taking the 2-0 series lead over the Phillies. Yeah, looks like it's going to be a Dodgers-Brewers NLCS if everything keeps up to snuff. 4-3, the final for the Dodgers. The Phillies were able to tie it, or almost tied, in the bottom of the ninth. It got a little hairy. Nick Castellanos with an RBI double that was very close. It looked like the tag got his fingertips, but it actually missed him. But with no outs, the Phillies were not able to cash in. Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers' shaky-ass bullpen holds up, Rusty. I was surprised.
Well, and wouldn't that be something after how much Swag has bitched and moaned about his bullpen if they just go cruise through this NLDS and right past the Phillies?
Oh, and one last thing that I forgot. Joe Flacco to the Bengals, along with a 6th-round pick for a 5th-round pick.
I believe that is a crazy swap. Joe Flacco.
Ooh, excuse me, sir. Well, in Cincinnati,
gotta have that Baltimore accent.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Cincinnati, pinkies up because now you've got somebody that is an 18-year veteran instead of Jake Browning, probably throwing passes for you come this weekend. So, did see that. Also, that opens up some room, obviously, for the Browns, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Yeah, crazy day in sports, and we've actually got a lot more to get to. There's been so much news in the NFL. There's been a delay. Oh my gosh, the Mariners game is actually starting.
Oh my God, they've started.
Sorry, I'm too busy doing the show. Top of the first now. Luis Castillo is on the mound. 0 outs, 2-2 count to Gleyber Torres. Let's go.
And now that we have mentioned the Mariners in this segment, it would be remiss if I didn't do.
Oh, hey, now.
Thank
there
you.
We go.
Yeah, you need a Nirvana.
We always need one of those in there for the. Well, it's the Vetter Cup, you know.
I was there when they won the Vetter Cup.
So we always got to have one of those in the Daily Buzz.
Hell yeah! All right, let's. Love it. Let's keep you updated on what's going on in the ALDS in Detroit between the Mariners and Tigers. But first, let's go to the George McCoy at Warren Allen Sports Desk and see what we missed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shedeur fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go.
It's Tuesday on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson.
You might not want to let your children watch this.
Time for play-by-playback.
Gary Newton is the greatest corn dogger ever.
Real game calls, real reactions, and one big question.
Is that a corn dog in your pocket?
Oh, yeah. That's my practice dog, sorry.
Talk to me dirty, corn dogs.
All right, really quickly before we play our play-by-playback clip, Rusty and I got. I just want to admit that. So they
we
flash.
Did.
Yeah,
we
Rusty got. Rusty and I in the middle of talking, trying to close out this segment, and we look up at the TV and we see baseball happening, but the ALDS Game 3 in Detroit has actually not started yet. They are replaying now because Tom Verducci and A-Rod and Big Poppy and Derek Jeter are all sick of talking. They're just replaying game two. So, yeah, I got fooled.
Well, they
I'm a dummy.
They could have done everybody a favor and put a bug like up in the top corner and said, you know, replay, whatever. But they didn't. And
I'm so excited for the Mariners to start playing. So, once again, the delay is still in action. Rusty and I got. But
we got. It happens.
But we got some good football to react to. So, let's get to that.
From the 3-yard line, Kareem Hunt, the running back. Two receivers to the right, plus Kelce slotted over there. Dropping is Mahomes. Fires middle of the field. Ball's intercepted. The ball is picked off. Are you kidding me? Devin Long bringing it back again. Along the left sideline. 50, 45, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown.
Oh, man.
Boy, that's an exciting call from Jaguars Radio. I'll tell you what, though. That guy sounds a whole heck of a lot like a certain Steve Rabel.
Holy catfish!
Yeah, now that you point that out. Yes, he does.
So The Jacksonville Jaguars upsetting everybody. Trevor Lawrence, he comes in and he falls down and he gets up and he falls down again. He went tub-thumping on us. And the
Tub thumping.
He went tub thumping.
Caught me off guard.
Yeah, no. And so my Jacksonville Jaguars now 4-1 after beating the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, kind of wondering if the Chiefs are cooked at this point. I've seen a lot of people on social media asking about that. Of course, this was Jaguars' first win against them since 2009. It happened, by the way, you talk about that stumble touchdown, Rusty. Let's play that on the craziest play for the Jaguars.
First and goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks a tackle, touchdown Jacksonville.
It looked so weird because
Troy Aikman was stupefied.
Well, you forget that even, yes, as the quarterback, you can fall down in the backfield, and if nobody has touched you, you are not down yet. So my brain's like already half.
Even if you fall down twice.
Yeah, like you can, yeah, you can literally slip and slip and slip, and my brain's just being messed with like, okay, he's down. Oh, no, he's not. And then after he stands up, man, I don't know if, it just looked like the perfect situation where he was just half arm's length out, you know, of the Chiefs defender's reach. And that was that minus a, you know, 25 or 20 second, 2 minute or 1 minute drill from Kansas City that didn't end up with anything. But can anyone tell me the last time that a team down 14-0, Rusty, against Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, you lose the turnover battle, yet you still somehow come out on top?
Well, and like even late in that game there in the fourth quarter, the Jags, they kind of got screwed on a couple of missed PI calls, DPI calls.
Yeah.
That were like, one was
obvious PI.
Atrocious.
Obvious PI.
But, you know, and you go back earlier in the game, the forced fumble from the Jaguars at the goal line as Trevor Lawrence is trying to leap over and stick it in, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you needed there was another 2 inches.
Hey. Again,
sorry. We got promos written here, don't we?
Well, we just, we need Travis Kelce's Redwood, according to Taylor Swift there. We got it. We got it if we got him.
Red Rocket, Red Rocket.
Oh, my God. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, I believe so.
Yes. Yeah, new lyrics in one of Taylor Swift's songs kind of revealing how big Travis Kelce's unit might be.
Gotcha.
And apparently a redwood is what opened up her thighs.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow. Okay.
That
all
is
right.
What she says.
Travis Kelce standing on a tripod.
So, yeah. Those 2 inches, he's got him.
On his head, huh?
He's got him, baby.
God bless America.
Didn't mean to throw you off. Sorry.
Like, I don't know where to go from here now.
That's okay. I mean, it's not like Kansas City was quiet, Rusty. Their offense did put up almost 500 yards.
Yes.
I'm just not used to seeing Kansas City unable to convert on third and short situations. That happened quite a few times last night. I still see that same explosiveness. I mean, the numbers prove it. Those connections from Mahomes to Kelce, the ability to scramble for a touchdown, that's all there. But it's like the volume has been turned down for the Chiefs from high to low, if that makes sense. They just don't have the same punch, that seemingly endless ability, you know, to just come back from whatever deficit. I just don't feel like these 2025 Chiefs are that version.
Well, and correct. They don't feel quite the same. It seems like they're on the backslide. I'm still not quite ready to write them off.
Yeah.
Just also like I'm not quite ready to anoint the Jaguars is like AFC South champs. I know they're 4-1, and their defense is really what's carrying them, which is interesting because Liam Cohen is the offensive guy.
Yeah.
Because I know at least going into last night, they led the league in takeaways. They had, I think it was at least 3 takeaways in each of their first 4 games. I think last night would only wind up being 1. But it's still a thing where it feels like a little bit of small sample size theater.
Yeah.
But we've seen patterns that are continuing to emerge both with the Chiefs and with the Jaguars. And so I'm not ready to give up on the Chiefs yet. I'm still also not quite ready to buy on the Jags, but we're getting closer.
You know, you make a good point, Rusty. We don't really have an idea of who the best teams are in the NFL yet. I mean, you could maybe say the Lions right now. You could, I mean, where are the Colts on that list? How good are the Seahawks right now?
Yeah.
Are they a top 10 team in the league? Like, there's a lot of questions. Like, the Rams, they've looked great, and then they've looked awful. Like,
are we really buying Danny Dimes as an MVP candidate at this point?
Seriously. And the Eagles have looked mortal at times this year. There's just, so is Detroit, frankly, and
well,
Kansas
and Eagles,
City.
That's a lot of it is their own fault because they've become predictable as hell. We pointed out yesterday, I don't remember if it was on this show or on the firm, when they line up in shotgun, just about 80% of the time they throw the ball. When they line up under center, just about 85% of the time they run the ball. you like.
Why hasn't their offensive coordinator been fired yet? That's ridiculous.
Like, I would say that you cannot get more predictable than that, because technically you can, but you know, you got 15-20% wiggle room there to get more predictable. But that's just that's to me sounds like offensive malpractice.
Yeah. Wow, I did not understand that. Thank you for laying on that one on me, yeah. Rust. I learned something new every day.
Oh, which, by the way, it looks like, also pointing out on the YouTube chat, looks like Tarek Skubal starting on one day's rest.
Oh, yeah. Tarek Skubal back on the mound again. Yeah, that's really funny. So, no. The ALDS still delayed right now, but they are. If you tune in and see baseball, it is not Game 3. They are replaying Game 2 on Fox Sports 1 right now. But to wrap this up, are the Kansas City Chiefs cooked? Like I said, it's a game that they simply would not have lost, a couple of years ago, in my opinion. But they've got a target on their back now. Yeah, everyone's getting older.
Well, they've had a target on their back for several years.
And it's just been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yes. And trust me, I did enjoy all of the fans on social media saying, hey, man, we're all Jaguars fans tonight, baby. Mm-hmm. Like, that was fun to be a part of. But Mahomes is still under 30.
Yeah.
So are they cooked yet? Well, I don't think so.
It seems like they don't have the playmakers around him that they have in the past, because it's not, while Mahomes is under 30, look, this is probably Travis Kelce's last year, and he's the best thing they have going on their offense right now, which,
see what happens when they get the criminal Rashee Rice back. So that might make them a lot better. Missing 8 weeks might be a disadvantage to them. We'll see. It could go either way. But Kansas City losing at the hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars last night, the first time Jacksonville beat them at all since 2009. I don't care if it was at home for Jacksonville. Man, and everybody defending Pat Mahomes, like, well, he just didn't see that receiver on that 100-yard pick six. Mm. Stop it. He had trips right. There are three receivers on one side of the damn ball. You know where they're going to throw it. Those defenders know.
That's like saying all Trevor Lawrence had to do was stick the ball out an extra, you know, a couple of inches, and that one would have been a touchdown. So, you know, it's a game of inches. That's what they say.
Exactly, yeah. It's a game of Travis Kelce's Redwood. All right, coming up, we'll wrap it up and crack one open for the road next on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Relax, hot shots.
Welcome back to the Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far?
Wicked woman, cool crimson mistress. You got a cool spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's smooth.
Here's Luke Anderson.
All right, Rusty, anybody yakking about anything on the text line or the YouTube chat?
Oh, I got one dude yakking at me on the old text line.
Give it to me, Neil.
First off, I don't appreciate the slurs and epithets. But also, just because the Chiefs were flagged already for 13 penalties does not mean that they didn't commit more that should have been called, especially late in the game when the game was still undecided.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, just because you got flagged a bunch, just because you thought, it's like in the NBA. Oh, we shot 32 free throws versus 13 for the other team. Well, guess what? It doesn't mean there weren't more fouls committed that should have been called. Sometimes there are flags that get missed, and look, they almost cost the Jags the game. I don't care about the previous 13 penalties. It's those couple that got missed. Doesn't mean they didn't happen.
Yeah. To the texter's point, I did see, I think there were four first downs that the Jacksonville Jaguars received because of Chiefs penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But then to your point, Rust, the Chiefs have been one of the most gifted teams from the referees in the last God knows how many years in the NFL. So no, people aren't going to get off that point of view. Well, it's just not going to happen.
And I am not a Chiefs hater. You could argue that I've been a Chiefs apologist for a lot of time. And I keep saying that I don't think they're done. I keep giving them their credit. So this is, to me, that's just silly, and I don't appreciate the R word.
No, yeah, don't use. That.
Anywho.
Anywho. All right.
Are we ready for
One for the Road?
I saw that song live, by the way. I watched Boz Scaggs perform the Lido Shuffle live at a blues fest here about 10 years ago in Portland.
I'm jelly.
On the waterfront, bro. It was amazing, but I just
kept my Yacht Rock pants all tight.
I will tell you what, Rusty, the whole concert, man, he was into it. He was having fun, just looked like he was happy to be there until the finale. And the look on his face said, I have sang this effing song 4,000 and a half times in my life. I'm
Play
sick of
Freebird.
Basically, he's like, I am sick of people only wanting to see me for that, which admittedly I was there basically to see him sing that.
Right.
And everybody was freaking out. And it's just like, you know, Boz, shove it, bro. You made so much money. You're a great guitarist. You're a great singer. This is what you're known for.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't think Rick Astley hates that he's known for never going to give you up,
no,
right?
Absolutely not.
So I'll never forget seeing Boz Skaggs singing the Lido Shuffle and looking like he
it's
wanted
to be
anywhere
else. It's like when Isaac and Sue one time had Biff from Back to the Future in studio.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah. And he did not want to talk about being Biff at
all. Too bad, bud.
It's like,
you're
dude,
Biff.
Sorry, that is your iconic role. That is the singular thing that you are known for. You should embrace it rather than shun it.
It's literally like if I was asked about my Mariners fandom, and then I said, "Don't, no, I don't want to talk about that. Don't ask about that, please."
Right?
That's bullshit. All right, one for the road. This was pointed out to me by Jeff Rust before today's show. Conor freaking McGregor, UFC fighter or boxer, whatever the hell he is now, he was suspended for an anti-doping violation, Rusty. But not because he failed the test. This is from multiple sources. He reportedly is being suspended for a quote-unquote whereabouts violation, which essentially means he skipped a test. But actually not just one, reportedly skipping three over the course of 18 months. Tell me you're doping without telling me you're doping, Connor. Damn.
I just thought the funniest part of it was calling it a whereabouts violation. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
I didn't know you couldn't show up for it, because I thought that was kind of an immediate suspension once you did, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, failure to appear in court, yes?
Yeah, like an immediate arrest warrant is put out for you at that point, right? But not if you're just doping and boxing or UFC fighting. It's all right? Good. Well, there you go. That's the one for the road, and that's going to do it for this episode of Happy Hour. Thank you so much to Luke and Dusty for having me in. Rusty, appreciate you. Thanks for having fun with me, doing the heavy lifting, making us sound good. Coming up, 4 hours of power from their mouth to your ears. Primetime with Isaac and Suk next here on 105.1 The Fan. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody, and go Mariners!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.